Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder on the way to the library and deliver an episode to you while I stroll around. I'm Brendan Riley. Good morning, listeners. I hope that you're doing well today. It is kind of a gloomy day here in suburban Chicago. The sky is that sort of blue-gray color it gets when the mat of clouds is flat and you can't really see any differentiation from cloud to cloud, except that there are patches of sky where the sun makes the sky look a little closer to white than to gray. It's not great. I'm maintaining a slightly higher pace today because my plan is to walk all the way to the library and back, which will either make for a slightly longer podcast or a slightly more breathy one if I keep up my pace and start to lose my breath. We'll see how that goes. So it's a relatively cool day, which is nice because we may in fact need to replace our air conditioner. I'm hoping it's a simple repair, but our air conditioner seems to have stopped conditioning. Of course, that always happens on the busiest days, which I make makes sense because those are the hottest days and the days then the air conditioner would be the most taxed. But it generally means that we're in a very warm house today. Hopefully the weather will stay cool like this because it'll make for a nice day. Today's topic, at least for the first part of the episode, is going to be a shooting from the hip episode, in which I'll be talking about a game I've played 1.5 times now. And that's the whole point of shooting from the hip. I'm giving you my initial responses. If this is the first time you're encountering one of these episodes, welcome. I'm always glad to have new listeners. A shooting from the hip episode is where I give my first impressions of a game right after I've played it. So it's a game that I've only played once or twice. It's not by any means a review, but I also am fully acknowledging these impressions might be bad because I haven't even got a sense of what actually is going to happen in the game because I don't have time or whatever. So that's kind of where I am with this. So today we're going to talk about Altiplano. Altiplano is a 2017 release, I believe, maybe early 2018, but I think it was 2017. From Rainer Stockhausen, who's probably best known for his previous and very exciting game, Orléans, and its 2 or 3 expansions. I only have the base game, and I've only played that once, but I really enjoyed it. It holds a fond place in my memory, and I've been meaning to go back to it. That said, Altiplano sounded really exciting. It's got, well, alpacas is the main thing. The Altiplano, of course, is the high-altitude farming area in the Andes Mountains, and the people who farm there have to make a living, and alpacas are one of the primary animals that they use. So Altiplano is very clearly a successor or a follow-on or a revision or addition or a reuse of the same kinds of mechanisms that Stockhausen used in Orléans. Its primary mechanism could be described as a bag builder, meaning that you start the game with a certain number of tiles that are round in a bag. And on your turn involves pulling things out of the bag and acquiring more things to put into the bag. You win the game by acquiring goods that translate to points. The way the game divides itself up over other kinds of materials have to do with, the game has money in it as well, but the money does not really contribute toward winning the game. The winning the game comes from these points that you earn in a variety of ways. There are a couple things you can build. So if you build houses or boats, you get points that way. If you take orders and fulfill them, you get points that way. And finally, the stock that you have in your warehouse also gets you points if you do it well. So those are the three main ways that you do that. The way you play the game is that you have these circular tokens, and you get to put, at the beginning of the game, you get to pull four of them out of a bag, and you put them on this player board, and then you designate what actions you're taking from the choices on your player board. So you start with four tokens you can use, and each token gets to go in a different place. So the first thing that is neat about this game is that you have specialized worker placement, which is a mechanism that I really like. The idea that you have some workers who can do some things and other workers who can do other things, but there's limitations to what each worker can do. This, of course, is a feature of Anachrony, another game I really enjoy, as well as many others. Anachrony certainly wasn't the first to do it, and Orleans did it. But the idea is the little tokens that you're pulling, you start the game with, say, a food. Each person starts with a different combination of tokens. Drawn, you get a random tile that gives you a special ability and a set of starting tokens and money. So once you have the tokens ready to deploy, then you have to move your guy around this sort of array of spaces in order to do the work of the game. And moving around the array of spaces, you either have to use a cart or food. Now, if you're using a cart, you can move three spaces, which means you can get anywhere on the board because there's a total of seven spaces. So from any one space, it's a circle. You can get to any other space if you're able to move three. If you don't have another cart, then you have to use food tokens to move the additional spaces. And that part gets tricky because you have a limitation of how many food tokens you have. And so it all just gets more complicated if you're trying to move around without using a second cart. You can buy a second cart and even a third cart, but there's a limit to how many carts. One, you're not allowed to have more than four carts. But two, there are only a certain number of carts per player, and it's not four. The game has a limit to how many carts you can buy. So if your opponents are being aggressive about buying carts, you have to as well, or you might end up short on carts, and then you're having to spend food to move the whole game, which eats up some of your tokens you can draw. This is a very complicated game with a lot of overlapping needs and mechanisms. Part of what I like about it. I think that's about as much as I want to explain. I think the rest you'll get either in my conversation or if you choose to go look up one of the many videos about how to play it or how the game works. Overall, it's a really interesting game. If you enjoyed Orleans, I'm sure you'll like Altiplano. Having both, I'm not sure is necessary. I'm glad I do because I like variety in my theme, but I'm not sure whether this will fulfill if you're somebody who likes to focus on a niche in your collection. I'm not sure this game would be by itself in a niche if you also have Orleans. I'm not explaining that well. What I mean to say is, if you have Orleans, you should play Altiplano before you buy it. That would be my takeaway from this. All right, well, apologies for changing the sound quality, but the wind has picked up a little bit, and I'm worried that if I don't cup the mic a little bit, you're just gonna hear roaring sounds. So hopefully it's not too different or jarring. So the other element of Altiplano that feels a little samey is the road. Each player has a road that they use to navigate the board. And somehow, I'm not really sure the narrative purpose for this, but the length of road that you have built determines how many tokens you get to use in a round. I haven't really explained how the bag building works, and I think it's important for understanding what I like and don't like about the game. Many of the actions that you take in the game, you deploy a token, like say for example, a llama and a food, or an alpaca and a food, and that gets you another alpaca. Narratively, I guess, you're breeding the alpaca. You keep it around a while and it makes another one. Or you can, alpaca and a food get you wool. For instance, you feed the alpaca and you get some wool off of it. But when you do that, you don't lose the alpaca and the food tokens. They go into this little, cute little cardboard box that you get. You have an open-topped box for each player in their color that you get to put together. And your tokens that you use go in that. After you've done that, then on your next round, you're going to draw more tokens out of your bag. Once your bag is empty, and all the tokens that you've acquired and used in that round have gone in the bag, then you dump every token back into the bag to move on to your next thing. So like I said, the carts that you buy at the beginning are really important. If you don't have enough carts, then you can't move your figure around to the different spaces, and you can't do the different actions when you want to do them. The other thing that's really important is the road. Now, the road determines how many tokens you can draw out of the bag. At the beginning of the game, you can only draw 4 tokens. For each segment of road, so each time you advance the road, you get something. You either get some money sometimes, or some points, or you might get another segment of road built. When you get another segment of road built, then your number of tiles you can draw goes up. So early on, you add a segment to the road, you get to draw a 5th tile every turn, 6th tile, 7th tile. So it's really important to focus on the road early on, because if you get behind in the number of tokens you're drawing, that will limit how many things you can do the rest of the game. Because what's interesting about Altiplano, Terra Mystica, you can take as many actions as you have resources to pay for. And all you have to do is be able to move your person around, or if you're at the same place, you can do action after action at the same place. But you also have to have the tokens out to pay for them. So if you are only drawing 4 tokens a turn, 4 tokens a round, someone else is drawing 8, you're going to get clobbered. I say this from experience. Which brings me to the scoring element. As I said, this game is very complicated in terms of just having all sorts of different things going on. It makes it really hard to figure out which thing to focus on. So the warehouse becomes important because, and this is the lesson I learned from the road issue, because the warehouse allows you to pull tokens out of your cycle. So whenever you use a token, like I said, it goes back into that box that will eventually get dumped back into the bag. When you buy tokens, the same thing happens. Or when you get tokens using your actions, the same thing happens. So the game of Altiplano that I played, the full game, was with my daughter. And she had the smarts to go after the road right away. I wasn't really thinking the strategy through as carefully as I could have, and I did not go for the road right away. Basically, I waited one round to go for the road. And that one round made a huge difference in the overall scope of the game. Because while she was going after the road, and we both went after carts with equal vigor, but while she was going after extending her road, I was accumulating other tokens instead. So by, say, round 2, then I was like, oh man, I need to get the tokens to work on the road. Well, one of those resources is wood, and it just so happened that the combination of things I had made it very difficult for me to get wood. So I think it took another turn before I was able to get a wood resource, And by that point, I had already refilled the bag, which means that the wood resource I got didn't go in to the bag until the next time I filled it, which was after I drew all those tokens out. And then once I put that wood resource into the bag, I had to draw it again before I could build the road. And basically what happened is it was maybe turn 5 before I extended the road. Could have been 4, but it still was way more than turn 1 or 2 when she was working on her route. And the result is, around about turn 3 or 4, she's drawing 1 or 2 more tiles than I am every round, which means she's getting more resources, which means she's getting to do more things. In that regard, I don't recall Orleans having that same effect. But like I said, I only played it once. It was a long time ago. Perhaps I'm just not remembering. Maybe I did have the smarts to go after the take more actions tiles in Orleans, despite not thinking of that here. But I will say the road and the carts, those two feel very much like food and workers in Agricola. Agricola, of course, the much beloved farming game where your actions are extremely limited and you need to have food to feed your workers. And once you sort of get a rhythm set up where your food is taken care of, then you can take care of other things and advance your game in other ways. Altiplano is the same way. If you don't take care of your carts and your road, you're going to spend the whole game striving to catch up with the people who did. So, let me move. I guess I've spent most of this episode describing how Altiplano works, which maybe speaks to how complicated it is, but I really enjoyed it. But I just want to take a moment to reflect on a few things I liked about it, or a few things I wanted to talk about. The warehouse. I started to get into this and then I fell back. So if you're doing a deck building game, like Legendary, there'll be times where you get to discard a card. And often, or to, what do they call it? Trash a card? Something like that. Where you take a card and you actually remove it from your deck. This is really important because it allows you to take the weak cards out of your deck. As an aside, one of the innovations of the Harry Potter deck builder, which I think I've mentioned a couple times, is that it doesn't let you take weak cards out of your deck, but it also builds in enemies for whom it's a benefit to you to have those weak cards. So there's a balancing act there. It also makes purchases far more crucial in the Harry Potter game because your deck gets bloated in a way that deck builders that let you remove cards have gotten around. This problem I was having with the wood, of not being able to get the wood because I kept drawing all these other tokens, even though the other tokens were good for me, ultimately they were slowing me down because I couldn't get to the wood. The other thing that I should have been doing that I wasn't was storing those tokens in the warehouse. So there's this warehouse and it's got a bunch of rows. And the way it works is you put your resources in the warehouse, and at the end of the game, each row that is complete scores points based on how high that row is. Big thing is you can't have more than one row of the same resource going at the same time. So if you start a row of wool, you can't start a second row of wool. But if you put ore in there, you can have a row of ore. So then you have wool and ore. And the higher rows score more points. So early on, you can do a variety of different things to fill up to sort of block off those early rows, and then work on completing one of the later rows that's going to score you more points. Of course, you also, at the end of the game, it's a point salad game, so you score for everything you've gotten, which means that even if you do badly, you get a lot of points. All right, a couple last thoughts before we call it a day. Altiplano is really cute. It's a fun theme. The llama, first player, they have a first player cardboard craft llama token that's hilarious, and we enjoyed passing back and forth. It's a fun game. It plays quickly because everybody kind of does their planning all at the same time, then you take turns quickly. But it feels like it will be, once I've played it a few times and I kind of understand how it works, it'll be more like Agricola in that it feels very similar every time. It'll be different in tactics because the board is rearranged each time and you get a different player power and there's different things on sale. But compared to something like a legacy game or some other of the more recent games that have a lot more variability in what they can do, it feels like it'll be very similar. Like, you're always going to want to build up your road first, for example. Well, that's it for me today. Thanks for joining me on my walk on this cloudy, humid day. I hope that your next walk is as pleasant as mine was. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.